Welcome everyone to the Proven Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Church. I'm a music producer from Northeast Ohio. I began this weekly interview series to give you different perspectives on how to approach a career in the field from different artists, producers, engineers, and other great minds who share their stories on not only what's made them succeed, but also what has shaped them into the people that they are today. I hope you gain some real proven knowledge from the show, and that it helps elevate you and your endeavors on your own journey towards success as well. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 182 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. This is the Creator Series. Today, I welcomed an artist from Canada. He's also a coach as well, performer, does a lot of cool things. I've known him for about a year at this point. His name is Michael Averill. Michael does one-on-one coaching in the community called Produce Like a Boss. I was actually in the VIP program over the course of this last year, and Michael was my one-on-one coach. So it was cool to reconnect with him and get a different perspective from him. We talked about, you know, the influence that members of his family had on him as far as getting involved in music, how music was always a part of his life, even though initially he didn't set out to be a musician, how kind of one thing led to another. And, you know, he's still doing it to this day, and just the different aspects that he uses to help other individuals. I always loved Michael's creativity and just the way he views things for himself, you know, how he can build a great life for him and the people around him, but also affect the lives of those that he's never even met before, just total strangers. And I can definitely safely say he has positively affected me in a lot of ways and taught me a lot over the last year. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and without further ado, let's get into this one. All right, so welcome everyone to episode 182 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. This is the Creator Series. Today we have someone, I was just thinking about this, we have been connected for almost a year now, I think like this coming week, because it was in November of last year. I joined the Produce Like a Boss program, the VIP program. And I'm here with someone who, you know, has helped me out a lot in the last year. He's an artist, singer, songwriter, performer, coach, does all kinds of great work. Michael Averill, welcome to the show, man. Glad to reconnect with you.
You betcha. No, this is a blast. Good to see you again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And like I said, I'm looking forward to, you know, having another conversation. We've had many in the last year, but this is kind of a different version of a conversation. And, you know, to have start off this episode, you know, we usually have the guests give some background on how you got into music initially, just some of what you do kind of in a nutshell for those that might not be familiar with your work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tie in some quick threads because there's a variety of different springs. I've been watching the Loki series on Disney Plus lately, and it's all about time.
Yeah.
And like little arms that fly off. I feel like that's my life.
Yeah, I love that show, man. I've been watching that too. So the last episode had me tripped out, not going to lie, but
fair. Actually, my wife and I went out to a Halloween theatrical thing out in the woods on Saturday night where I live around here. And we saw two people dressed up as Loki and Sylvie. So it was a pretty amazing costume.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We said, we love your show. Anyways, I came up in music just around home, like my family. Particularly, my dad wrote songs. It wasn't his career, but he was a school teacher. Ended up teaching music to students as part of his career. But how it looked for me is every once in a while, he would invite his teacher buddies over and they would have like jams and share songs around the kitchen table, which was awesome to grow up in. But I didn't want anything to do with it really in terms of participating because music terrified me. So I just watched from the shadows. Got used to just music being around and being really informal and casual and fun. So that was great. And then my brother got into guitar, my older brother, when I was in about grade six, and I started taking interest into pretty much anything my brother did. So we did a lot of guitar. He learned songs and he'd show them to me, and my dad got us an electric guitar, and then we had volume and we were off and running. So it was like years of just playing with music, listening to songs, our favorite songs, and just trying to figure them out. And it was always kind of a game. And that was about it, literally for like a decade.
Yeah.
That's all I tinkered with music, with no real goals to do anything with it other than just, it was fun. But when I got to college, I moved away from home, went to Vancouver in Canada here, and just started seeing some other people that were living in dorms play at some open mics that they were hosting at these little coffee houses. And I didn't really want to do it. I just liked going to them, but some friends saw my guitar in my dorm room and they're like, you should play. And I was like, no. And it took about a year of that to actually get me into it, to trying something where I sang, and I did it and loved the community part of singing together with people. And it kind of lit a fire. And I thought just, oh, this is what this is about. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of expanded, and I kept just then being more adventurous in musical communities. Like, there was a guitar club that I joined, and I met a guy from France who actually helped me learn a lot more about how to solo and like how to write songs. And it actually opened up my first recording experience, finding a student producer. And he brought us in, and we just did some like gypsy jazz instrumental tunes, some were covers, some we wrote. And it was just a really great process. And as I kind of grew up through college and whatnot, I was in a whole other world. Like, I used to compete in track and field as a hurdler, and I helped people exercise and like get healthy and all of that. And music became this thing. Also at track meets, I would bring a little travel guitar and just jam while I was waiting to race. Mm. Like, try to cheer people on playing like the AC/DC lick on my mini guitar. It was kind of ridiculous, but lots of fun. And, but yeah, music just kind of kept growing. And the more I started playing, the more opportunities I got to come play at venues. And it just kind of kept rolling that when, after I had worked in the industry, the health and wellness industry for a while, I decided that I kind of wanted to see what would happen if I gave music its full attention. And I was getting a bit burned out of everything else I was doing. And just the way life rolled, it kind of came to a head where it's like, you have a choice right now. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And I decided to just do that, just to jump in. 2011, I jumped in full time to music as a singer, songwriter, performer, and everything that went along with that road. So it was pretty cool, because like right off the bat, when I first did that, I had an opportunity to join a bunch of different artists to go on a trip to Nepal to make like a documentary or whatever, they weren't even sure what they were going to make, but they had this chance to go to a remote village in the mountains and spend time with them. And they needed a musician, they had a photographer, they needed a painter and a videographer, and all this kind of cool collaborations going on. So I said yes, and that made me release my first album, because I needed to raise money to go on the thing. Mm. So like, it was a constant kind of rolling of cool stuff that kind of kept happening. But I just toured around. I actually, after that trip, did a walking tour through Canada, over 4,000 miles in 8 years, which is like, I've just been doing unusual projects with music and connecting with community for a number of years now, and loved it, you know, absolutely loved it. And then when everything shut down for COVID, it was kind of like, okay, my whole performing life needs to change drastically. So thankfully, I had also been running songwriting workshops for other songwriters over the last decade, and got introduced to Zoom through all of this stuff, and thought I'd put that up as an option for songwriters to still stay creative and still progress their craft. And those took off like wildfire during the whole thing. And I started up a different entity in a podcast called Write Songs You Love, which was all about songwriters and their stories about meaningful songs and why they do this and how we keep it a lifelong practice, you know, like lifelong language. It's not something that just disappears if we didn't make a career out of it, you know? So I've always been fascinated with that aspect of music and trying to wave the flag of like, this is important too, you know? But through all that, connected with Chris Bradley and produced like a boss, and upgraded my own producing skills. Like, I did a bit of recording here and there for my own albums over the years, really not knowing a clue of what I was doing. So meeting her and learning her strategies and how to do this really upped my game. And then I started working with her and for her. So that's how we met. So I became ultimately a coach through the VIP Home Studio Boss program. And yeah, so it's been cool to dance between these different worlds and have teammates and community like I do now is pretty surreal and something I don't think I could have ever envisioned when I said in 2011, I'm going into music.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. And I got to say that it feels like just hearing you describe the journey that it's like music was always involved in it, no matter what. You know what I mean? Even in the coaching and everything you've been doing since, it's like music has kind of always found its way to being involved in your life. I think you just, from what I could tell, it's like you were kind of unsure at first. You're like, okay, this is a cool thing, but like, do I really want to like get into it in that way? But I think like you just have slowly accepted it more and more and more, and it's become such a big part of your life. And like, it feels like there's been so much payoff from that for you. You know what I mean? In different ways, getting to meet different people. And like I said, you helped me out so much just in the last year or so, and getting to know you as a person as well, even just being a student, learning from you and what you've done. I mean, that's super awesome to hear. And it's great to hear about the journey too. This is how I know you're a pro at this stuff, because you already covered like the first few questions I had for you just in the intro. So I'm like, yeah, he's already on it. He's got this whole thing down pat. I am curious to know, this could be in, you know, the music side or the coaching side. What do you think was a big challenge when you were trying to get, you know, your footing with some of this stuff that you did have to overcome? Was it self-confidence? Was it just, you know, dealing with imposter syndrome, things like that? Was there ever times where it felt like you were kind of trying to battle with your own self internally to make these things happen, or it was just kind of gradual? Like, what do you think was a big complication or a challenge that you had to meet head on and get through that to get to where you are today?
Well, I think that maybe the biggest one had to do with like making a drastic career change. You know, one that I had studied for, gone to college for, had spent a lot of years in the industry building up, and you know, you build your reputation, and that takes years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long time. So if it feels, that was difficult, that took me a long time to come to a place to actually make that jump. And it really just kind of came out of, I guess I could say, sometimes you just get backed into a corner in a way, and you have to just kind of do something, or your body lets you know, because that wasn't a good skill of mine. I wasn't good at listening to what my body was saying to me, and I was just overworking, and I was afraid of conflict, like just basically kind of speaking for what I needed and what wasn't working for me in the places that I was working, and just the situation. I was just underslept, working really long weeks, really physical weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just not happy. And like, there was so much in that, but it literally took, what it was, 2009. It's hard to say if this is related, but in my mind, it feels like this is what the cause was, is I had a little mole show up in my arm that I didn't really think was any big deal. And I left it for a while. I was dating a nurse at the time who kept kind of like poking me to go check it out. And I kind of put it off, but eventually did. And through, over a course of action, ended up being a cancerous thing.
Mm.
And not, you know, tiniest little mole didn't seem like it was, it seemed like harmless, but what had happened is it had actually kind of started going down as opposed to like out. And there was fear on doctor's side that it would go into my lymph system, which would be a very serious thing. So anyway, that really kind of woke me up, or made me take inventory of my life at that time, just to say like, all right, you know, like how long do I want to wait around, you know, not staying in this space. It wasn't necessarily that I knew what I wanted to do. It was like, I just kind of knew I didn't want to be there, and was just too kind of afraid to explore what else might be able to happen, or it felt like I kind of got to the top of what I was going to go. So I guess part of it is like it's a challenge in like your own belief of what you think you can do and what you're capable of, or what's even possible for you. And I guess I didn't really imagine very big things for myself at that time. So it was hard. It was hard to overcome. And I think it was just like my body giving me a warning flag to say like, hey, like, here's your chance. You can take this back or die. It kind of felt like, you know.
Yeah.
So it was, even after that, and things, obviously I'm still here, things went well, but I, it took me about another 2 years to start just kind of changing my mindset a little bit and being like, okay, I'm just going to practice this in little bits. I'm just going to try experiments, you know, like changing methods a little bit with the way I work with people and like saying things a little bit differently to the people I work for, and things, all the stuff that seemed to cause me stress started to change. And like the reception to that I was predicting was going to be so much worse, and it was going to be a big battle. And it was like, people would just say yes to what I would suggest. And I'm like, would it have always been that easy? Not that it always is, yeah. But it was surprising to me that, like, you know, just asking, how hard asking and just standing up for what you think you need can be. So it was a slow progression, but eventually I got to the point where I quit and just said yes to that. And so I'd say that was the hugest thing, because everything else that has come from that is a result of that kind of headspace and taking that action.
Yeah. So it's almost like a shift in perspective, as well as like a reawakening, or like a new awakening in life as well. And it's kind of realizing that there's probably more than what, you know, either people want for you or what you initially think for yourself. Like, you thought it wasn't going to be, you weren't going to ever see that much for yourself in your life. You know what I mean? Until you had that instance happen and you're like, well, maybe there is more, you know what I mean? Let me try to shift the way that I'm thinking and the way I'm living too. So I think that's a key that I think a lot of people can take from as well. And, cause I know for everybody that's different, like those moments are different too. And I don't even think it's always just one moment. I think it's like throughout our lives, we probably have these moments, even if we don't realize them initially, but then, you know, we look back on them, we're like, well, I'm glad I made the choice to move in that direction, to shift it in that way. And you saw the results come through. So, definitely thank you for sharing that. I definitely think that's super important. And I know something that, you know, we talk about in the Produce Like a Boss community, something that is involved in the coaching, is the importance of setting a schedule, having like a day-to-day planner, you know, figuring out time slots for everything. Everything has a place and a time. So how important has that been for you, especially with all the different hats that you have now? You're still doing your own music, you're performing live, you're doing the coaching. Like, how much has that helped just to be able to have that in place? And, you know, has it made life a lot easier being able to schedule things out and have a place and time for all these things? Does it make things a lot easier for you? Like, how has that been, especially in the last year or so? You know, how has it benefited you?
Oh yeah. Well, it's just nice to be on top of your stuff and like to know what's coming. And I think when you've been a touring performer and you're like, there were times where I was playing close to like 300 shows a year. And like, when you get so far out sometimes in your schedule, you know, weird dates. People will sometimes be like, oh, like, let's get together in the whatever Friday of November, whatever, like next year. And yeah. I'm like, you mean the 27th? Like, I know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but since I don't have that anymore, yeah, having the calendar is so crucial, just for the day-to-day, to remembering things. If you're really like chatting, working with lots of people, collaborating, lots of balls in the air, it's essential. And you know what? You don't even have to have work-related things. Like, if you're a new artist or a new producer, whoever, you know, just kind of getting a business going or something, it's still good to put, like, everything in your calendar that you have in your day, like your lunchtime and whatever, like, block the stuff. Like, until you have work or whatever's going on keeping your day full, like, put in time, block it so that you're already preserving and protecting that time. So if it's like, this is music creative time, this is music polishing time, this is whatever, you know, like, block those in those days so that it's there. You know, that's the one thing. It's like, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And at least if you put it there and something needs to change and move it, it's there. And all you got to do is just drag it over somewhere else where you're like, okay, I can't do it today, I'm going to make that accommodation to do it somewhere else. It's such a simple thing, but so much more gets done when you just balance the equation that way. And literally, like, I think a resistance to that sometimes is people liking the spontaneity of just, I don't want to be that planned, but, you know, it's actually even kind of nice to just, sounds ridiculous, but plan like spontaneous time.
Yeah.
It's kind of an oxymoron, but like, it's more of like, what are we on today? We're on Monday. Like, say like Wednesday between like 3 p.m. and 10 p.m. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm blocking that time for whatever I feel like doing, you know? So could be chilling at home, watching a show, could be making music, could be going out to have a burrito. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's good to put it down, and it feels good when you know kind of what's coming and that you've got fun stuff to look forward to as well, like breaks and trips or vacation or whatever, something to step away from what you're doing is really important to put in, because otherwise it just doesn't happen.
Hey, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a quick minute out to let you know how you can become a monthly supporter of the show. So if you click on the show description in your podcast platform, you'll see the words support this podcast toward the bottom, and you can follow that link to sign up. You have the options of donating $1, $5, or $10 a month, and that'll be used towards making the show a better experience for you as the listener. That means new and exciting guests, giveaways, and a lot more that we can continue to provide for you. So feel free to click that link and check it out, or visit anchor.fm/provenknowledge/support to contribute today. And for now, let's get back into the episode. You got to set time to watch Loki. You got to set a time to watch the new episodes, you know? So
Thursday nights.
Yeah, Thursday nights. Well, I got to say, you know, I got to credit you and the whole PLAB community for helping me out with that a lot. Because like I said, I've been using that planner now every day this whole year, pretty much. Like, I'll wipe it out. I'll start the next day. I'll even put like what I have to do like the next day. So today is Monday. I already have the stuff for Tuesday ready to go. I'm like, here's my to-do list. Here's like my top three things. Like, that helped me so much, just being able to do that and like what I learned. I look back at like a year ago, how unorganized my schedule was. I feel so much more efficient now, like just in having that. And I know I can still get better. Like, it's not perfect. I'm still trying to get the hang of that. And like you said about setting aside space for the free time as well, I'm still struggling with that because I'm still getting in those patches where I'm like, I could be doing something. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, I could be doing something. I could be working on something. But I always got to remind myself, like, I can have the downtime too. And that's important for like my health and stuff like that. So, man, is it important just to have that set schedule and just kind of figure out when and where you need to get things done at. And again, I got to say thank you to you for, you know, the part that you've played in helping me with that, because I think it's super, super crucial. So I did want to ask as well, before we get into the last few questions, what do you think, you know, we can be on the lookout for what you have coming up? Do you have any more live shows for the rest of this year? Are you working on any music yourself that, you know, we can be on the lookout for? Like, what are you getting excited about for the end of this year and 2024 as well?
Yeah, it is exciting. There's it's nice actually to be out performing again. It just adds another spice that I stepped away from. I just didn't even bother with when it was kind of uncertain times there for a bit. But to have it back now is just really great. It's one thing, it's kind of funny because I used to tour and be out and about all the time. Now it's like I have to make myself go out of home because everything is based inside for me, and like doing session work or producing or coaching, or it's all like in this space. So even just going out to play to get outside oxygen and remember people exist in three dimensions is a very cool thing. But yeah, like because of that, it's been fun to do music projects. Like this last summer, I released an album of my own that was live off the floor recorded. That was kind of a finale summary album in a way of this big walking tour I did of Canada. And then just a few weeks ago, a kind of secondary part of that, I released a whole bunch of recordings that I re-recorded of my dad's songs. So my dad wrote a bunch of tunes, and that linked heavily to why I did this big walking tour. It was largely in the spirit of him, and he passed away in and around that time when I was going through all that transition in life too. So it's been a big exploration into family, and it just keeps going, and I think just being able to share those songs with everybody recently and connect through his songs and his stories and keep learning more about him. Like, it's been about 12 years since he passed away, but I feel like it's just been a constant increase in what I've learned about him and from him. And even just learning his songs and recording them, I became a better musician and learned more, and I noticed things about his writing style that I never noticed before, just seeing them in a collection. So that was really special. But all of those two albums and some other songs as well are going into a book that I've been writing for a while now about that whole big tour. So it's going to be kind of maybe an unusual collection of a thing, but I'm going to have the songs kind of implanted through the book so that the stories of this walking tour and the songs that go with them are interlaced, and something that as you're reading along, you can kind of stop and hear the song that connects. And I've never made a book before. So like I've been learning a lot more about storytelling and writing and how that all works, because it's very different than music. Mm. And that's been an exciting journey. So looking to wrap that up relatively soon, at least definitely in the early part of 2024, if not end of 2023 here. And then I'm going to be making an audio book, which will be a lot of fun. Yeah. I think just being able to share the stories like that and have people hear the experience of what I'm going to tell, that's super rewarding to look forward to. So mm-hmm. So stuff like that is really motivating, and I'm exploring more of the public speaking world in terms of like keynote presentations, but incorporating music. Mm-hmm. So whether or not businesses or conferences or schools or associations want to have, you know, there's so many different conferences going on all the time, and they always have some kind of a speaker, and being able to come in and speak to topics like not necessarily just leadership, but like communication is a really important one for me, and community, like building a culture of belonging is something that's really important to me. So I'm developing some talks for situations like that to kind of help boost and get some conversations going around that in different atmospheres around other industries too. Mm-hmm. Like not just music, but like just other ones where music can really be a cool and fun way to explore those topics and engage with them. So part of the book will be part of that, you know, like I think it'll be a nice anchor for something like that. But again, it's all new to me. And I think that's what's exciting. I'm kind of just feeling like dabbling into, I feel like Ariel from The Little Mermaid and just singing like, oh, it feels a little bit like that right now, which is good because I haven't felt like that in a while. And just open to what comes along the ride, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of different cool ways to connect with people too. And I did know about the book because you told me about that in the springtime. I almost forgot about that. So I'm definitely excited for that as well. I'll probably be the audiobook person, though. I'm gonna give you the fair warning.
That's fair. I love audio.
Yeah, for sure.
It's actually my preference. It's funny because like English in high school was my worst subject, and of all things, I never thought I'd ever do is write a book, because English almost kept me out of going to college because I just couldn't get a high enough mark. Mm-hmm. And there's something about listening or talking to people that absorbs kind of forever for me.
Yeah.
So I'm much more of an audiobook.
It's kind of, it's like the same with like why we love music so much, I think too. Like it sticks with us more, maybe. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing like that. So, but definitely early congrats on it, because I know it's going to be super, super cool, and it sounds very personal as well. So congrats on that whole journey, because I think it's super awesome. Last few questions here. These are ones I ask on every episode. The first one is, if you could go back 10 years ago, maybe give yourself a piece of advice, or maybe not change anything at all, what do you think you would do?
It's interesting timing. So 10 years ago, where are we at right now? Yeah, I would have just been in the middle. Actually, I would have just come back home from my first 4 months of walking Eastern Canada. And so I guess advice that I would have given myself. Well, I'll say this. This is something that has been a constant reminder. This is something that my dad has always shown up for with me, and actually was the name of the first song that he ever wrote. It was a song called Take the Time. And it's all about these different ways kind of in life that, you know, they just make sure you do this, you know, mm-hmm. Like don't urge it, you know, take the time to like really feel out where you belong or like where you want to wander, and you know, tell your friends, everyone around you, your family, how important they are. Like help people, that stuff matters, you know, like it's so I knew that at that time, but I think it's always good to have that reminder. And that's one thing more that I'm noticing is just like we know a lot of the stuff that we need to know. We just need to, we need the reminders that we know that stuff to keep doing it. So I think that's what I would have gone back and said.
Absolutely. I love that. Absolutely. And if we flip that then and we say 10 years from now, where do you think you see yourself in music, coaching, everything else you got going in life right now?
Well, I feel like there's like all these prongs, but I love what's happening now. I think what I would love to see in 10 years from now is just on a different kind of scale, and just sorting through my thoughts. I think more of it is just depth. I think this is the differences I'm experiencing. Someone once said to me too, like, this is another mentor that built up this really cool music school for kids in Vancouver. They said, you know, it's like, it's better to go deeper, you know, in the community than farther wider. You know, like if you can kind of keep descending down there, because I think that's where the real magic can happen. And I feel like that's what's been happening with people I get to work with, and with my own journey too, is it's just really getting to know different levels of existence with each other, and get to a place where we can have some like real impactful conversations, interactions, where it feels like we're growing as this bigger unit. And I just want to make sure that keeps happening. I think that's the other thing, is like, it's the same message, I guess. Maybe it's just the same message of take the time and like, don't stop doing that. Because I notice that when I do, or if I kind of back off of doing that kind of stuff, things start to plateau, or things just kind of start to get stale, or they don't change for the better. So I think just keeping that growth going. And part of that is just listening, really just listening to the people I work with, because I find that that's been my bigger compass guide, because they're getting better, and I'm trying to open it up more to them telling me what they really want. And as an example, for the Write Songs You Love community that I have, and some of the artists that I've worked with that way, we're building up to doing an actual live in-person event next year. And I'm trying to orchestrate it so that I can take people along I've worked with for years now and bring them here and do a retreat workshop kind of thing, but also like create a mini tour for them to like go around to the venues and actually like showcase their stuff. And like, that's exciting for me. I've been able to like produce some albums for some of those artists and then go to their cities and go play with them, you know, in their album releases. And like that actually is almost getting me more excited than my own stuff. So it's very cool to kind of see how this keeps growing. And I think just willing to leave the space to be surprised is the thing I would hope that, you know, 10 years from now, I still feel the same.
Yeah. Always being able to keep it fresh and exciting, for sure. So, And do you have any final words of wisdom today for the listeners?
What are we on right now? This is October 30th. It's almost Halloween. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I'll see if something comes, but as a fun side project for Halloween, I have an artist that I work with by the name of Songs by Death. Death, the actual Grim Reaper, writes and releases music now, and I get to produce them. So if you're looking for something Halloween-wise, a fun kind of light way to approach, the one guarantee that we all have is we're going to die. And that doesn't have to be like an unmentionable thing we don't talk about or something terrifying or scary. It's a place that we can go to actually have real conversation with and have fun with it. And actually in doing so tends to help us, again, be a reminder that there's lots of life left to live and should make the most of it. So do whatever you got to do to make that happen. And if you have to go listen to some Songs by Death tunes, then maybe that'll help you.
Whatever method works, that's what you got to do for sure. But Michael, man, I got to say again, appreciate you for coming on the show. Thanks for, you know, everything you've done for me, everything you're doing for a lot of people out there in the PLAB community and all the other stuff you got going on as well. Early congrats on the book. Excited for you. And we'll have to do this again soon, for sure.
Yeah, buddy. Well, thanks for doing this. I love your podcast and just why you're doing it and how you host it. And everything you're doing for artists is really beautiful. So thanks for being that kind of a person, because I think this whole community music world in general is held up by people like you doing things like this and helping people's stories get out there, and it's impactful and it changes how people go forward in their lives. So high fives across the sky.
Thanks everyone for listening today. That was episode 182. We'll be back this time next week. We're reaching the last few episodes here of 2023. We got a couple more for you until that week break. But until next time, we'll see you then, and thank you as always for listening.